views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and I love sharing guests with you who can help you understand not just who you are and why you do the things you do, but also all of the messages that you're receiving on a regular basis. Today, my guest is Kelly Leidick, and she is going to do just that. She's going to teach us how to interpret some of the messages that we are receiving on a pretty regular basis. Kelly is a solo mompreneur and single mom of a two-year-old that she never thought she could have. She's certified as a meditation facilitator, Reiki master, crystal Reiki master, and gateway dreaming coach. She has an MA in writing and consciousness, has been published many times, and has even won a Juno Award for excellence in women's leadership by the Omega Institute of Rhinebeck, New York. Today, she's here to show you how to jumpstart your dream practice, as in your dreaming, okay? And she's going to do it in a way to help us for greater empowerment, increased intuition, and more. Now, dreams hold the keys to the depths of your inner being. They have the power to help you understand the hidden parts of your consciousness, and their symbols provide knowledge about the deepest parts of self. I am so excited to learn all about this today. Kelly, welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show.
Thank you, Debbie, so much. I am so excited to be here and so excited to talk with you. I can't wait to share.
Wonderful. I am just totally pumped as well. So why don't we start by having you share a little bit more about your story? I'm thinking that listeners might have heard that first line of your bio about you being a mom of a two-year-old, not thinking you could have one. Maybe you could just share a little bit more about that so they know where you're coming from.
Sure. I appreciate that question. My son is 2 years old now, and he was born in late September of 2016. I had been dealing with some chronic health issues around 2008, 2009, on forward, and was my understanding was that I would have very difficult time having a child, if at all. During that time, that's when I became a gateway dreaming coach. I had been struggling with some health imbalances, and that really prompted me to turn inward to myself and also to explore the depth of my dreams, which had always been a passion since I was young anyway. So it seemed to really fit. And so I became a coach in 2010 and then started working one-on-one with clients and also teaching some workshops. And in 2015, I unexpectedly became pregnant with my son, which was a huge miracle in my life. And from this point forward, I've been working on my business, working with my private clients as a coach, and raising my son. It's been quite a ride so far. It's exciting to think about the future, too.
I bet. I love hearing stories like that because I think so often people are told things, whether it's about being able to conceive or whatever it is. And I'm not slamming our medical people here because honestly, they're doing the best they can with what they know, with what they've been taught, with what they're thinking. They are doing the best that they can. But so often we're told things like you won't be able to have a child or you won't be able to do this or do that. And those things, those ideas are so limiting. So often
they are.
Yeah. And so often when we don't buy into that kind of stuff, it's like that little story about no one ever told the acorn that it couldn't grow into a big oak tree. So it does. I think so wonderful things can happen. So that's really fascinating. So the Gateway Dreaming Coach, that's really what we want to talk about here today, because we want to talk all about the dreaming. You said you got into it because you were, you know, focusing inwards, that kind of thing. Is there anything more you want to add to why you became a Gateway Dreaming Coach?
I think that there are a lot of modalities out there that have their own kind of specialty or their own way of working in a deep and powerful way. But for me, dreams have always been an anchor to both the subconscious mind and the higher self. And so to me, that seems like a natural way to better integrate mind, body, and spirit. And certainly it influences health too. How intently we pay attention to our dreams can influence or impact our health. And so for me, that was really, you know, the focus was how can I find a modality that I'm really interested in, that feels exciting, that feels interesting, that actually really works. And so when I was dealing with my health imbalances, that seemed to be the natural thing. So it's kind of like a way of dialoguing with yourself in a strange way, but through story, right? And so that was really what prompted me to become a coach, because I thought, well, I think it's interesting and fun and I understand the depth of it and it resonates with me. So I really would like to endow other people with that and empower other people, especially women, and especially entrepreneurial women, with these kinds of tools that can help them to, you know, balance their life, balance their health, explore greater consciousness, become more creative, even, you know, increase their business.
Right. I love that. I love the fact, just that idea of do what is calling to you, what feels interesting, what feels like you'd want to know. And then it turns into something more, right? Rather than racking your brain going, what am I going to do? What should I take? What should I learn? What should I do with my life? If we just follow those nudges, it often leads us to exactly where we want to or need to go, right? There's that saying about you're going to teach what you most need to learn in life, right? So it was obviously an answer for you. Okay, so let's talk about the dream incubation process so we can start giving people some substance here.
Oh, yes. Okay, so I love the dream incubation process because it's almost, I always say that it's almost deceivingly simple. It's so incredibly simple, but when a person continues with the practice, it's almost like the subconscious mind and the higher self begins to respond. Like I said, that dialogue, that kind of internal dialogue with yourself. And so it's very simple, but then once you do it more, the more you dream, the more you dream. And that's the end result. So with the incubation process, I always recommend that folks do this as the very last thing before they retire to sleep in the evening. And it's as simple as writing a question on a piece of paper. For instance, a good one would be, what next steps do I need to take to balance my health? Or what is the next best step to grow my business? Questions like this. It's always self-directed. And so whatever it is that the person wants to inquire about, that's what they should focus on. And write that question on a sheet of paper and then fold it up and put it into some kind of small container with a lid. It's important that the container has a lid. And it's not just a symbolic visual cue, but it's also a way of containing the energy of that question and putting it in the container with the lid. So it's actually kind of incubating and sort of stewing in its own energy all night. And then I always say, place that container just on the bedside table. Okay. Then right before you retire to sleep, make sure that you have your feet off of the ground, right? Because we don't want to actually be grounding. We want to be connecting to the higher self. So make sure you're sitting on the bed or laying down on the bed with your feet not touching the ground. And then just sit there and meditate on this question. Repeat it to yourself at least 3 times. And you can do that silently in your head or aloud. And then after that, move into a space of non-attachment, put that question kind of out into the ethers, and then retire to sleep immediately. And it has a way of opening up certain channels or certain, I don't want to say dimensions because that seems too abstract, but right. certainly certain channels of the mind to access both the subconscious mind and the higher self. And then when the dreams surface throughout the night, inevitably the symbols are going to be telling the story to answer the question. And so the goal of the incubation process is to get the answer from the dream through the symbols.
Right. Okay, so there is so much we can unpack in that. But before we do, I have to tell you that quite a few years ago, I had heard the idea of writing down the question, almost the whole process, except for it did not involve putting the paper in a jar or anything with a lid. And maybe that was the problem for me. But what ended up happening was all night I kept waking up, it was like the question just kept popping up into my conscious mind and pulling me awake again. It was the funniest thing because I ended up not sleeping at all that night. I kept waking up thinking, oh, was that the answer? And I'm not a kind of person who is like that. I'm not really I am anxious in some ways, but I don't usually get sidetracked that way. And man, oh man, it was the funniest thing. So I'm very careful about doing that. So the lid, yeah. You said, makes it an incubator. Could it also hold that energy so that energy isn't swirling around you and driving you nuts all night?
I think that's absolutely the way it works. So I think paired with the container with the lid and then paired with keeping your feet off of the ground, I think those are they're very small steps to take, but very intentional in creating the exact experience that you're trying to create. So I think that the two go hand in hand. Yes, I think you're exactly right.
Nice. Okay, so when you do this then, can that process help you with your dream recall?
I think that it can, but I think that there are also additional tools that can help with recall. Like I said, you know, kind of the more you do the incubation process, the more you dream, and then the more you dream. It's kind of like you're conditioning the mind and the emotional body the way that you would do in meditation, right? As you begin to meditate or become a beginner meditator, the process gets easier. And I think the same is true with dreaming. You sort of create this flow for yourself that naturally unfold. And it's really interesting too, when I work with clients, when we work in consecutive sessions, you can actually see the pattern from one session to the next over a couple of weeks. And it's almost like this story of its own is unfolding dream by dream. So it's really, really fascinating process.
Cool. So when you wake up, I mean, now you've got this jar sitting there. What do you do? How do you now get the information, or did it come to you already and you're just supposed to remember it? What happens now?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a couple of different things can happen depending on a number of factors, including, you know, the person's length of time that they sleep, or, you know, other factors. Right. Did they eat something before they go to bed? There are a lot of different things that kind of go into it in addition to incubation as far as getting the result. But the idea would be that one would use the incubation process right before they go to bed, and then immediately upon waking, have a pen and a journal handy and just dictate into that journal the exact dream as it occurred while they were asleep. And then that gives a platform or a foundation of being able to look at the symbols and sort of dissect it in a way that makes sense for whatever is happening and whatever question was asked.
Right. So what do you suggest then for someone, like for me, I usually wake up and I have to go to the bathroom usually. And so I get up and go to the bathroom. By the time I go to the bathroom, even though I don't take a long time or anything, the dream is gone. The feeling of it is still there, but remembering the dream is gone. What do you suggest for that?
I always say that before you open your eyes, just kind of lay there. Just lay in bed. Let your consciousness surface. And then if you are a person who has a tendency to forget dreams, go directly to the dream in your own mind and play it over in your head like a movie. just like you're watching a movie, and do that from start to finish, or at least as much as you can remember. And then when you get to the end of that portion that you remember, start over from the beginning again and do that a couple of times so that the dream kind of imprints. There's also an interesting phenomena that happens. And one technique that I would use with clients who maybe remember only sporadically is something called the rolling technique. And it's so fascinating, actually. The way that dreams are remembered and imprinted into the conscious mind is also related to the physical position of the body while asleep. So, for instance, let's say you're a person who likes to sleep on the left side, which would be, you know, me. My son also likes to sleep on his left side too. So if I'm in an REM phase and I'm having a dream and I'm laying on my left side and I roll onto my back or I move position while I'm sleeping, and then I start to wake up, and let's say I'm waking up on my back. If I have positioned my body back to that left side, wherever it was when I was having the dream, it actually triggers the memory. The physiology triggers the memory to have greater recall. So when we roll, when we do the rolling technique, you would roll from the left side onto your back, onto the right side. And then as soon as the dream impression starts to come back, you would freeze your position. Because that's the way to determine where your body was located when the dream was happening, if that makes sense. I know it's kind of hard to picture when we talk about it.
No, I can see it.
Moving your body, but
no, I can see it perfectly. I am so excited to hear this tip because I do like to sleep on my left side. I don't always allow myself to because my husband sleeps on that side of me, and if he's facing me, I've got this thing about sharing breath, you know. And so right. I'm like, okay, now I got to turn. But often when I wake up in the morning, I will go onto my back, and that's when I try to do my dream recall. And now that you say that, it makes so much sense that I should go turn onto my left side. By then, my husband's long gone to work, and I can turn onto my left side.
Yeah.
I can feel how beautifully that might work to help me.
Yeah.
I'm going to try that.
Yeah.
I can hardly wait to go back to bed.
It's very cool. It's amazing how it works. And, you know, if you keep your eyes closed while you're doing the rolling technique, that also helps too, because you're just sort of, opening kind of like a blank canvas to put that dream impression onto.
Yes. Okay. Oh, that is so awesome. That's wonderful. So let's take some time here and go into symbols. Like, how do you work with dream symbols to help people learn more about themselves and to become more empowered, whether it be as a mother, a coach, or any type of leader, really?
Yeah. So symbols are kind of twofold. You know, I think that there are some theorists, some psychological theorists, I should say, that believe that certain symbols kind of mean the same thing for everybody. Eric Fromm was one who said, like, for example, emotions. Emotions are often symbolized by water and the quality of water. So let's say you're in an ocean and it's really choppy or it's really stormy. You know, you're in the dream, you're trying to work through some internal emotional difficulties. Or conversely, if you have a trickling, babbling brook, right? It's just very small trickle. Maybe that would mean that you are not acknowledging all your feelings because you're not letting that move through. So there are some symbols from that set of theory that I think are true. I think I see that pattern a lot in people, but it's not everything. And that can't always be the sole source of, you know, dream interpretation or understanding. So I think that the other part of it is that some of these symbols are really, really individual, and that makes sense. And so when I'm working with someone, I always want to have, I require everybody to do an intake form, but I always want to have some really in-depth understanding about their background and who they are and what they do for their job and, you know, what their family dynamics were and all of those types of things to get a sense of really who this person is. And when you think about it in another way, from a different kind of psychological theory, when we think about how memory is implanted and how emotions and how the neurobiology works, we think in terms of how there's an association with certain things. And that comes from direct experience. And those experiences are always going to be individual to the person. So having an understanding of their background and what their personal experiences are help to give another layer of understanding of the symbols that are going to be unique to that particular person. Whether it's, let's say, they had a really, really amazing vacation, you know, when they were 7 years old and they went to Disneyland or something like that. And it created an impression around that. You know, conversely, it would be somebody who maybe experienced a great deal of trauma in their lives. And so those unique associations are going to be very highly individualized. And then those will show up in the dreams via different symbols. Right. So we would talk about all of that process. So I think it's both. It's kind of the general and very archetypal symbols. And then it's also the very personal individual symbols as well.
Right. It's so fascinating to me. And I mean, I could just talk to you for hours about it, because I know for myself, I had major, major dreams about bears, and it was coming up all the time. There's one bear, and the bear was often threatening me. And I didn't even realize it, but at the same time, I was having a bit of a struggle with my employer, who I was hired on contract, and they didn't want to pay my GST. And so we were having this struggle back and forth. And at the same time that I took on the bear in my dream and started pulling the bear's claws out, I found a way to get my work to acquiesce and say, okay, we'll pay it. And it was like, perfect. It was over. That. Yeah. So, I mean, you're right. Yeah. The symbols are like, that was specific to me, to what was going on for me and to what bears brought up for me, that fear, that, you know, being bigger and more powerful and all of that. So we only have about like less than 5 minutes left, but I want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about what you do and how people can find out more about you. And then I'm hoping we'll have time to maybe come back and relate this a little bit to parenting. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's just talk. You have a business called Waking the Dream. Do you want to tell us just a little bit about that?
Sure. So my consulting business is called Waking the Dream. And, you know, the goal and the mission is to inspire and to educate and to transform people from all walks of life and all different experiences. And I especially love working with women and women entrepreneurs. I also love working with, I'm a single mom, so I love working with single moms as well. And I provide services in Gateway Dreaming Coaching. I also provide Reiki, energy balancing, you know, whatever. I have a kind of a whole set of tools that I use to help people really understand themselves, really get clear and really get aligned into what it is that they dream of doing, or accelerating the dream of what they're already doing that they love. Mm-hmm. And propelling that forward and providing transformation whenever that's necessary. So I work with people through, you know, kind of all phases, whether they're just beginning, you know, or on their path, or whether they're advanced and really just trying to accelerate and into the next level of authenticity and expansion and alignment.
And if they're avid dreamers like me, I was just going to say, if they're avid dreamers like me, they definitely want someone like you helping them, figure out some of the messages that are coming through anyway. So if a listener wants to find out more about you, they can go to kellylydick.com, which is K-E-L-L-Y and then another L-Y-D-I-C-K.com. Mm-hmm. And they can get that off of the blog that's attached to this interview, as well as on the Transformation Talk Radio page attached to the interview. And then if people go to your website and sign up for your newsletter, they will receive a free MP3 dream incubation download, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So we have 2 minutes left. I just want to quickly ask you, so how do you use dreams in relation to parenting? Is there a short answer for that?
I think it's about looking at what are the next steps. And when I would coach anyone else, as I would internally coach myself, it's always about starting from the place where you're at, right? So, and being authentic and being honest about where you're at today. Mm-hmm. And then using that as the foundation of how to go forward. And so in relation to parenting, you know, what I would say is, you know, how can I increase my connection with my child? Or how can I make our connection more fun? Or how can I become a better disciplinarian, right? Things like this that we're often searching for the answers for, or trying different things, right? I'm a first-time parent. So for me, I'm kind of learning as I go. And so as these questions come up, then I would go into the incubation process and see what I can do internally to then outwardly affect my parenting and my relationship with my son.
Nice. And then as your child gets older and into those teen years, your question might become, you know, how involved do I need to be in helping my child with this, or those kinds of questions, because right. they certainly do shift. Oh, Kelly, thank you so, so much for coming on the show and sharing these amazing little bits, you know, about this sleep activity that we all experience, right? But lots of people have never really given it a lot of thought. They joke about it. They go, oh, I wonder if my dream means anything, when it definitely does. Mm-hmm. And so I find this topic totally fascinating, and I am so excited that you were able to be here and help shed a little bit of light on it. And I hope people will check out your website and you know, get more into it if that's an area they feel they're intrigued by. So thank you so much.
It's been so great talking with you, and I'm so honored to be on your show, and really thank you. And I hope that the information is valuable to everyone, including yourself, Debbie.
Absolutely. So thank you once again so much. Thank you so much to you, my listeners. I truly appreciate you. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik and her guest, Kelly Leidick, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com.